There's controversy. Controversy continues today over the revelation that a 91-year-old man spent 29 hours on a trolley in Talla Hospital. And yesterday, the Minister for Health, Leo Varadkar, said he had spoken to the elderly patient who told him he was unhappy that his personal details had made their way into the public domain. The man's wife was also on a trolley in Talla Hospital. Before we speak to Dr. James Gray, the consultant who spoke out to highlight that case, let's hear briefly from what the Minister had to say on the News at One.
I should say I did actually ring the patient in Talla, not something I'd usually do, but I was hearing different accounts and I wanted to speak to him. What he actually said to me was that he was very happy with the standard of care he got in Talla. Maybe he shouldn't have been, but he said he was. He said he didn't believe that he was subject to noise torture or light torture or anything like that, and was actually very unhappy that his patient experience had been misrepresented in his view, and also that confidential information about him, his wife, how long they were married, had got into the public domain.
That's the Minister, Leo Varadkar, speaking yesterday. Dr. James Gray, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
Sean. Now, this is a case, you didn't identify the individual and the person's name isn't known, but clearly he and his wife seem to have self-identified given the facts that became public. What's your own attitude to what's been coming back at you from the Minister, first of all?
Well, first of all, this is a distraction. We've got a crisis here that's going, increasing year on year. It's not going away. This particular case, I highlighted to my CEO in the hospital on Monday night, a patient I saw myself earlier that Monday, and it was also sent to Dr. Varadkar, to HICWA, to the acute hospital directors, and to the group CEO, Dr. Susan O'Reilly. It was also CC'd to a number of stakeholders in the hospital, including some of the executive team, the clinical director, Dr. Kate Wall, and my colleagues, as well as some other people that would need to know this information. And so this was cascaded widely on Monday night. And, unfortunately, it got into the public domain. And everything that I say in that memo, which was circulated widely, I stand over. It's a bit ironic for the minister to say that, the patient perceives there's no problem. This is a vulnerable elderly patient who'd spent 29 hours on a trolley and then is finally finds a position on a ward and is at that stage is perceiving that his care is going well. To be approached by anybody under those circumstances, I mean, I'm sure what he said was what he said, but it needs to be taken in the context of who's got the position of power in that position.
Yeah,
most vulnerable person in that position. So I'm not disputing what the minister said, but I think we need to take it in context. We've got a very vulnerable elderly gentleman who's subjected to inhumane conditions in the emergency department.
Would you regret the fact, though, Dr. Gray, that this patient and his wife clearly self-identified from the information that emerged into the public domain, and given the list of people that you cited there, it was probably inevitable that it would become public, given that your memo was sent to so many people?
Well, first of all, there was no name mentioned.
But if a man is 91 and he's in hospital and it also says that his wife was there too, it's pretty evident that they will be able to see, well, look, that's us they're talking about.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, at the end of the day, the issue here is patients are vulnerable. They're on trolleys. They're oversensed in emergency departments up and down the state. 80,000 this year alone, so far this year. The problem is going out of all proportion, and something needs to be done about it. I have the duty of care to patients, Sean, and when I see gross governance failure going on to the scale on the scale that I'm witnessing, I have a duty to do that. In actual fact, not to do so would be a very serious matter for somebody like myself.
Right,
there's a duty of disclosure as well as a duty of candour.
When you speak of things going out of all proportion, just some of the language you used, talking about patients festering on trolley, subject to constant noise torture, constant light torture, major sleep deprivation. I mean, it's almost as though you're conjuring up an image there that would have more associations with Guantanamo Bay than a hospital ward.
what I'm saying is that we've got patients who are in positions that they've got no control over, languishing on not even trolleys in cubicles, but on conduits around the environment of the emergency department. And in some hospitals, you know, stacked side by side, or heel to toe, where there's absolutely, you know, negligible infection control consideration. They constitute a very clear fire evacuation hazard and wouldn't satisfy any sort of building regulation criteria.
Do you use the word fester?
Well, it's a word that's there to convey that this is these are patients who are allowed to stagnate in an environment for prolonged periods of time.
And have you been asked as yet, because the hospital, I think, announced that it was going to have an investigation into how a patient's information or details came into the public domain. Have you been asked to participate in any inquiry?
I haven't had any direct contact from anybody in the hospital today, so in relation to any inquiry, and I'm very happy to be part of any inquiry that unfolds subsequently. I'm very well protected as a patient advocate. When there's a duty to disclose, when there's gross failure, the Protected Disclosures Act 2014, the Health Act 2007, my own consultant contract 2008 has a section advocacy. So I'm very clear, and my colleagues have been very supportive. I've been inundated on Twitter, on my Twitter feed, messages of support, which I greatly appreciate. I'm getting the backing of the Irish Hospital Consultants Association, the IMO, the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine have put out a strongly worded press release this morning. And I've been endorsed by Enda Kenny in the Dáil. So this is a sideshow.
And Sean,
what needs to happen here is that the hospital needs to deal with the problem, not deal with the person who is identifying the problem.
And when you are described in this morning's Irish Times as a thorn in the side of management of Tallaght Hospital for more than 6 years, is that a fair description of you? Is that something that to which you would happily plead guilty?
I'm a fairly outspoken patient advocate, and when there's a gross failure that I see and witness myself, then I have a duty to disclose that. I would imagine that the management of Tallaght Hospital and indeed the HSE and perhaps the Minister's Office might feel that's difficult to have on their, you know, in their inboxes on a regular basis. We have a long paper trail, e-trail and paper trail, in relation to patient advocacy. Mine goes back to 2009, and I think Paul Cullen's piece in the Irish Times today, he's done a bio on the last few years of my time in Tallaght Hospital, and one of the key periods for me was a patient who desaturated, basically went into a respiratory failure on a corridor in Tallaght Hospital in 2011, was wheeled into the resuscitation room and was gone beyond the level of resuscitation and died.
Have things, no. Because the coroner described Tallaght in the inquest that followed that as a dangerous place. Now, have things improved? Have standards improved as a result of that?
Well, when I send an email on a Monday night, there's 19 patients over census on trolleys. That to me is a continuing failure. It's all about what level we accept. We shouldn't be accepting any level. This is something that has continued. There have been some benefits in terms of the HICWA statutory inquiry, but I think some of those benefits have been eroded more recently, and we're coming up again to the kind of levels that we didn't have. And I think this has been replicated around the country. As I say, 80,000 on trolleys around the country. You know, I put it this way: every patient that's on a trolley is a potential vote.
Right. And I'm just looking at our own text line, Dr. Gray. David says, Irish culture doesn't accept whistleblowers. I admire this man's convictions to expose wrongdoing. Another one, thank God for the Dr. Grays of this world. Sean, we should be applauding that doctor, says another caller. Blame the messenger. Is that the best Minister Varadkar can do? It's disgusting, says Jane. You seem to be getting the support of our listeners at least. But do you think, though, that there might be a case for maybe just, you know, trying to deal with these matters in sort of quiet, calm deliberation with your hospital bosses there? Might that be an alternative way of doing business and bringing about necessary improvements for the patients?
It's a good question. I've been there. As I say, I have a paper trail going back to 2009, and when I started campaigning as a patient advocate, that's exactly what I did. I informed local management at the hospital, and I got to a stage where I didn't feel that was bearing the fruit that needed to be born. So I had to externalise at that stage. I felt as a patient advocate, and I started involving people like HICWA. And HICWA in 2010 came in twice to Tala Hospital to see for themselves what the place was like. So that by the time the patient of Tonsin and died in 2011, they moved in very quickly. Actually, 24 hours after that coroner's inquest, open verdict into the death of that man, which I give evidence at, the Health Information and Quality Authority launched their statutory inquiry.
Dr. James, just last brief quick point.
Yeah, in relation to that HICWA inquiry and the lead up to it and the coroner's inquest, I've been here before in terms of being intimidated and for my patient advocacy, and it's no surprise that I'm in this situation again. But people like me don't go away. We've got a strong conviction, and I'm well protected in that regard. The issue that I'm talking to from 2011 in the run up to the coroner's inquest. I was asked to not disclose clinical details on that patient, which I found was astounding.
You mean at the inquest?
In the pre-inquest period. So between there was a period of time before the inquest took place. So it's called a pre-inquest period. And at that stage, there would have been a number of stakeholders in the hospital, including legal representatives for the hospital and the CIS, the Clinical Indemnity Scheme. And I was put under a lot of pressure, and I have recordings of that pressure to omit clinical details,
This is omit clinical details from documents, or at least information going to the inquest. Is that it? Or just to the general wider public?
Yeah, so basically the my depositions are in the public domain from that coroner's inquest. Anything that's submitted is in the public domain, and anybody that reads that, so two depositions, there was a detailed report and there was an opinion. The detailed report didn't gather much concern, but the opinion did. And the coroner had asked me specifically to do a report and an opinion, which he's entitled to do. It was some of the evidence in that raised antigens and raised concern. And I was asked directly on a number of occasions to omit certain detail. I won't go into any more specifics.
Okay, so to tone down what you were supplying to the inquest, that's what you were asked to do.
Yes, and I wrote to the CEO of the hospital at the time outline my concern in relation to that. And that was never properly dealt with ultimately. I got a response, but it wasn't a satisfactory response.
Okay, Dr. James Gray, consultant in the emergency department in Tala Hospital, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Lots more texts on that. Great to hear such a passionate advocate for patients. That doctor is right, says another caller. It's very easy for you to talk as the hurler on the ditch. These places are inhuman. You would not see it in the third world. We'll be talking to the IFA's new crime prevention officer after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.